I personally switch away from my normal devotional readings and read the Christmas story and read through it. And I read through my notes in my Bible from previous time. And I really do not know if I didn't share this information, the same three-point message before. I didn't note it in my Bible so that I did. So I have no way of knowing. But it was a great blessing to me at this time. And I said, you know, whether I have or haven't, it was such a blessing to me in my own devotional time, I wanted to share it with you. It is about peace. We're going to read through the Luke portion of the Christmas story, this Luke 8 through 20. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn. If not, you can just follow along and read. We'll read in unison. And then when we're done, I'm going to just take a little time to introduce how it was moving in my heart. And then we'll look at the three key thoughts that stood out in my mind. Now, therefore, if you'd read with me, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, before you even jump to the next, you understand that this would have been stunning. These are individuals. They were probably, they were kind of like the outcasts, but they were hard-working people. But they were outcasts because they were shepherds. They were never allowed to worship in the normal. They were never clean. They were never ceremonially clean, so it was always a problem for them to worship, and therefore they were not in the midst of, you wouldn't think of them as spiritual people. At least in that culture wouldn't think of them as spiritual people, yet God speaks to them. He reaches out. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's an encouragement in living in the neighborhood. Because you wouldn't think of our neighborhood as a place where God would visit. But the truth is, He loves the people here. Okay, let me not get preaching when we're supposed to be reading. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came, and with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherd turned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Wow. You know, when I think about our situation is this. We have a presidential campaign that's going on. We recognize that because of the terrorist act that happened in Paris, the terrorist act that has happened in California, there is a lot of discussions about just closing the door on immigration entirely. There is a lot of discussion about, you know what, we cannot trust them. A lot of them have very evil intentions. And we're talking about the Muslims. And we know that we have a large population of them. We have the largest population of Somalis outside of Somalia. So we have a lot of people that, and they have seen horrific things. I also recognize that, and you should recognize, that the Black Lives Matter group and that movement is not a movement of love. Just, you know, they can talk about Martin Luther King and all of this other stuff. that group is not motivated by love. They're really desirous of instability and hatred, and they challenge all sorts of divisions and trying to split us apart. That's just the reality. We are living in a culture where they're trying to, as a culture, they're trying to have us even hate our law enforcement people. Just in general, dislike them and distrust them. It is very, very much a reality. If you go to the Cubs store, you are going to be served in many situations by people that are dressed in Muslim garb in our country. Yet we are not a first and foremost and thought of as a Muslim country. I went to the Walmart quite late at night, I have to say. It probably had something to do with it. But I was in the Walmart that was over on Highway 35, over Rosedale area and County Road C. I do not believe I saw a single employee, this was in the third shift time, that was not Muslim. And they were not speaking English to one another. All of this says that we're living in a culture that's changing very rapidly, and there is very easy for all of us to get caught up in a concept that says, you know what, I don't like change. I frankly don't like this, and I'm not so certain I even like them. Now, that's the reality. Okay, that's where we're at. Now, it doesn't help that, for instance, I don't know that it's everywhere, but there are some ladies in the block where I live. When they're walking down the sidewalk, if you're walking on the sidewalk, they will not move over. They're Muslim, in their Muslim garb, and as a Caucasian man, they will not step to the side. They will make sure they fill the whole sidewalk between the group of them, and you'll have to step off, or there's going to be a confrontation. Now, that's troubling. Okay, that's not right. I'm not saying their spirit is right on that at all. It's wrong, flat out. But in the midst of that, we need to remember that we have a higher calling. Now, we are not the first generation to ever face this. All you have to do is read in context the first century church and recognize that the believers, the genuine believers, were not popular people. Their position was not popular, and they were not having warm responses. It was warm responses. In some situations, they were put on stakes and burned for the light of their entertainment. You know, it isn't been historically easy to be a Christian. But it doesn't change what we're called to be. We're not called to put other people on a stake and burn them. That's not the point. We're not to return evil for evil. As a matter of fact, we're challenged in just the opposite way. I think of the start of World War I. Actually, much of this message I read from another preacher, and it would just gripped me as I thought through it in the context of what we're facing today. But he pointed out that in World War I, at the start of it, in December 1914, so it's 101 years ago, the World War I, the war to end all wars, had started. It was probably 4 to 6 months into it. My history may be a little weak on that, but I think it was like 6 months into it. Germany had come across Belgium and overrun it. If you read or study on that, what was so significant about this war, one of the things that isn't publicized a lot, but the propaganda war that was really, really run at this point. What they said about the German soldiers going through Belgium was really horrific, ugly things about them. And proved to be afterwards a little truth, but only a little, and 99% of the embellishment was just to make the soldiers that were now the Brits and the French that were fighting them and the Belgians fight all the more aggressively and not lose heart in this battle. And guess what the German press was doing about them? the same thing, wicked, evil things. So it was just like you just hated them. You saw them as animals. You didn't see them as human beings. I tell you what, we've got to look at history because that's what's going on today. It's trying to get us to think in terms that we don't look at an individual and see, no matter where they're coming from, as image bearers of Christ. And as Christians, we can never allow ourselves. No, we aren't to be foolish or not to be ignorant of what's really going on, but we've got to be careful that we do not lose sight of the clear direction that Christ has called us to go. And that is not evil for evil. In the World War One scenario, something that happened that this little newspaper article was published in January, and maybe I can still see it. It's January, I think it's 8th, 1915. And in the little write-up down here, it says this was in about 10 days after it happened. It happened on Christmas Day. And what you're looking at is a group of German and British soldiers gathered together where they met. They came out of the trenches. Now, they go back into the trenches, and World War One saw a slaughter of 10 million people in Europe. And they were slaughtered in a very brutal, ugly way. Okay, so we're talking about ugliness that just is overwhelming to the way we conduct war now. It's much more clinical, with our drone strikes and the likes. It isn't, but this was a lot hand to hand. Okay, so I'm setting the stage. I want to play a little video that actually a company did to promote their product, but it speaks. It's a beautiful summary. Last year, when it was a 100th anniversary of it, it had something like 17 million hits on YouTube. That's how popular this little thing was. But it speaks to it. And then I'm going to go back to our passage. Can you play that for us now? I'm so glad you're so capable. God bless you.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön.
Thank you.
Happy Christmas. Frohe Weihnachten.
The thing that's significant in this is that it really was a historic moment. Two warring forces came out. It started with the Germans on the German side lighting Christmas trees in because that was customary of their land. It was not known to the British that it wasn't in their culture at all. And then the Germans started singing some hymns that they knew. And one of the British men yelled across the way, we are not, somebody yelled from the German side, why don't you sing with us? And they yelled back, we are not going to sing in German, it would kill me. And one of the Germans yelled back, we believe that if you sang in German, it would kill us also. You know, it was interesting that they were having this dialogue. Now, here's the point. At that point in history, they viewed each other as animals. But Christmas caused them to take a fresh look. And they were able to have, they shared Christmas Day together because a couple of the young, we don't even know who it is historically, which privates there were, but they were young men, 19-year-olds that just put their life at risk, sticking their head up over the edge, and then walk out and met, and they had a wonderful truce for one day. Now, having said that, I want to just quickly look at our passage again. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. It will be to all people, for there is born to us this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, for on earth peace, goodwill towards men. In this is a tremendous message of Christmas for us today. It is appropriate. Many of us have people in our neighborhoods that have been a little testy for us. This is a great time to take a fresh look at those interactions. In some situations, it's that way in families. It's that way at work. Jesus came for all people is huge. Now that we need to remember today. As we're sitting here and we're getting so encouraged to be them and us and everything, you know, everybody's splitting up the groups. That is not Christ's way. It is not our country's way, by the way. We as a country are not there. We historically have welcomed people from all. And we respect each other. Notice, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Even those that are caught in deceptions of false beliefs. The truth is, although I was caught up in a false belief, it was by our culture still a Christian belief. But the truth is, I didn't know Christ, and I was alienated from Him. And if it wasn't for somebody who loved the Lord to reach out, I would have never known Christ in a personal way. And it's the same for everybody we meet. And guess who has responsibility? Who I know Elnor Ahmed. I have a responsibility for Elnor Ahmed to do my level best. You understand what I'm saying? We need to take a look at our lives and say, listen, we are his agent. We'll let the government figure out some of these things. And the government has some big challenges, and I want the government to do what a government ought to do. I'm not saying they shouldn't, But as individuals, I'm talking about we meet individuals. And we need to look at individuals as individuals and pray for them and be kind to them and be encouraging to them and helpful to them. That's why I want to do this support of a recent immigrant family. And hopefully you support many of them as we go forward. Every person that you don't like, Jesus loves. Just as much as he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That has really, really helped me. This thought has really, really helped me of late. I had one individual that had just really had a unique position in my heart. I've never had a person until then that I couldn't even answer the phone call from the individual. They had been so abusive and every time I talked to them. And about 4 months ago, I really got convicted and, actually, it wasn't that long ago, but it was as I started reading the Christmas stories over again, I was stirred to pray so that I could be the agent of love. And it is amazing. It is amazing what it's done. And that's what I'm saying to all of us. Let's get over ourselves. And remember that we have been bought with a price. It's not about whether it's safe. It's not about whether it is convenient. It's not whether they have a right to it. No, we have a responsibility that is a delight we have to serve the Lord in this way. It's not a duty. It's a delight we have to be used to the Lord in the lives of others that do not know him. Jesus came for all people. Isn't that a great truth? The next truth is equally important. Jesus came to spread peace, not division, not war, not anger, peace. On earth, peace. I love that. Then you look at I could ask Dr. McLaughlin, you're probably looking up the word again. I often do, so forgive me for saying that, but I sit there with my electronic Bible and I'm checking out the words, the definitions of the words as we're going along, listen to in a message, but it talks about reconciliation. It talks about coming together. It talks about walking in harmony. I see so often in Scripture how it's so important we walk in unity. What a sweet, this Ephesians, when it moves from the doctrine into the practical part in chapter 4, what's the very part? It says we're to walk worthy of our Lord, and then it stresses unity. If you go into Romans, after it talked about doctrine for 11 chapters, it goes in and we're to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our righteous duty, our responsibility. That happens to be in the plural, and it's talking about us as a group doing this. Not as individuals presenting ourselves, but as a church. This body right here, we are to present ourselves in unison to submit to the will of the Lord, and it is for the purposes of reaching out together to minister, to change the world. Our community needs this in a phenomenal way. Peace in the midst of trials and tribulations and anger and all sorts of threats. And the threats are real. I'm a realist. Listen, I understand that things are getting violent. And people are not rational in what they're doing. But we are not to be motivated like they are. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which do what? Make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. We are to be focusing in on not division, but on peace and growth together in Christ. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, which we have all sorts of in our culture. We don't know what to do. We don't know whether we want to close our borders or open our borders or welcome people in or keep them people out or screen them differently. You know, we just got all sorts of, should we take away everybody's guns? You know, everybody's arguing about everything. But notice what it says here. We're not to be the author of confusion, but of peace. It's just in another realm. You know, it's kind of like a fourth dimension. It isn't the way our culture is thinking. As in all churches of the saints, we need to be looking for peace among one another. And then it's Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what is ruling in the hearts of the average American today? There's all sorts of self-focus. I've got this problem. This isn't working out. Whoa, my life is tough. I can't make it anymore. This is too much pressure. And what is supposed to be ruling in our hearts, for those of us that know Jesus Christ, is, you know what? All of these things and all of these circumstances and all of the events really have no eternal value relative to our knowing Christ. That's what Ephesians is about telling us. The riches we have in Christ so outweigh all of the temporal circumstances, we ought to walk worthy. Practice peace, recognizing that Jesus came for all people. And Jesus came to spread peace. And we are his ambassadors. And Jesus came. So praise God. I should have put a comma in there. The point that I see in this, when you look at this, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Here's the point. We recognize that he loves all people. And recognize that he wants peace. And we ought to be glorifying that, raising that up, praising him. You get the point? Instead of always talking about the down stuff, we need to be the agent of hope and rejoice in our Savior. Rejoice in the beauty that we find even when people find themselves in extremely difficult circumstances, because there are a lot of difficult circumstances. But if you know Christ, we don't have to fear what man can do to us. We don't have to fear about this life, because the huge revelation of Scripture besides Christ, and I'm not trying to say it compares with Christ, but one of the critical messages he's delivering to us is that this life that we're going through that is so important to us, it's not the main event. It is not to be our heaven. In the world, we're to expect tribulation. Yet we expect heaven here. Is that not true? In the end, if we're walking with the Lord, don't we expect to have this kind of like heaven experience here and everything go the right way? It just isn't what Scripture is teaching us. It's just what our mind tries to talk us into. And what we ought to be doing is celebrating him, looking forward to the day when we're absent from the body and present with our Savior. Psalms 133:1-3 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Instead of making conflict your go-to reaction, try taking the path of peace first. If it is possible, as much as lieth in us, depends on us, live peaceably with all. That's how we're supposed to be known. That's how we're supposed to react to life. Take the path of peace in every situation. Be a peacemaker. Actually, there's a blessing in this. As we purpose to do this, you will have the blessing of seeing, and some of you do it already, but as we do this, you will see that we make a difference in the lives of people. They go from kind of grumpy to pleasant. Just because we can be pleasant around them, and we can be pleasant with them. And the Lord is calling us to do this because it is magnetic. It draws people. It draws people not to us, first and foremost, but to our Savior. So remember, 100 years ago, even in the midst of killing each other in a horrific way, Christmas was used in the lives of these men as a time to say, you know what, there's something greater. We share something more significant. There's a sweetness and encouragement here. If those enemies can come together, we can come together too. And we can be used as agents of peace. So Jesus came for all people and came to spread, and therefore Jesus came, so praise God. Amen. As you go about the rest of the week, I trust you'll remember these 3 points.